Thank you, Mr. Wallach. Good afternoon, brethren. It's good to see all of you, those in the balcony, too. I see you over there. Oh, yeah, there they are. Yes. Very nice day. It's nice to have it a little cooler in the, what is it, in the high 80s instead of the high 90s or hundreds in some cases. Okay. Well, brethren, this message that I'm going to give today should provide and review some ways in how we can follow Jesus Christ, our Good Shepherd. In Psalm 23, it reminds us how blessed we are to be able to follow him as he leads us. And the title of my sermon, by the way, is Following Jesus Christ. Now, in Psalms 23, it's a psalm that is very meaningful in helping us to be reminded that actually we can be thought of as sheep. It was written by King David, and we can see that, and it's been analyzed, and we can be thought of as sheep that are following our Good Shepherd, who we should understand is Jesus Christ. In John 10:11, we can read about Jesus Christ describing himself as the Good Shepherd who gives his life for his sheep. And so if you turn to John 10:11, that's exactly what it says. He's talking, as he was talking quite a bit in John, you'll see that. But in John 10:11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And he did, as we know. As we focus on following Jesus Christ, the importance of God's word, the Bible, is so important in our learning, brethren. Learning what God and Jesus Christ say involves our reading of the Word of God. We understand that Jesus Christ is not only our Good Shepherd, but he is also called the Word of God in John 1. I'll read it. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. We recognize that following Jesus Christ, our shepherd, would include making sure that we are living by the will of God. Jesus Christ's number one responsibility while here on this earth was to do the will of God. If you turn to John 5:30, he's mentioning it right there. In John 5:30, he says, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. And all the way down to the crucifixion, he said, not my will, but yours be done, just before he died. And so, brethren, in this message, we will focus on some important areas of living our lives in such a way that emphasizes the concept of following Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. First of all, we should remind ourselves that as we read and study our Bibles, we must not forget to focus on the words of Jesus Christ. He is included in all the New Testament, and he is also the God of the Old Testament. I think we understand that. But again, let's realize also that Jesus Christ is also the Word, as mentioned in John 1:1. And I mentioned that earlier. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So as we begin, let's realize that when we follow Jesus Christ, we should also be following the responsibilities that God our Father wants us to accomplish. And of course, we understand this, or these things would include obedience to all of his commandments, all of them. Following Christ would also include praying to God our Father through Jesus Christ as our high priest. So an emphasis on prayer, studying our Bibles, meditation, and occasional fasting should be a priority in our living God's way, brethren. Our prayers should come from our hearts, which of course deal with what we are thinking. As we pray, we should include asking God to help us develop the fruit of His Spirit in Galatians 5. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, which is also called gentleness, and of course, self-control. As we pray also, brethren, we must also not forget to ask for help in growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as mentioned in 2 Peter 3:18. We're familiar with that scripture. 2 Peter finishes this particular verse and says, "But grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." So, brethren, let me mention now and ask three questions that can apply to all of us as God's people here in our Garden Grove congregation. They're simple, but very important as we strive to live our lives according to God's will and following Jesus Christ. Number one, do we pray from the heart? Is our heart involved when we pray, brethren? Do we really mean what we're saying when we pray? Do we include God in our plans, number two? Do we include God in our plans and in our desire to do His will? And number three, do we have a strong desire to talk to God through our Lord Jesus Christ? Let's remember and recognize that when we pray to God, Jesus Christ is right there. He's right there listening to us as our high priest. And so we would want to, or should want to, pray without ceasing, which can mean being so close to God that as necessary we are able to pray in our thoughts. Our prayer life should be in our minds continually. Of course, we have to pray privately, and we should, time every day. But we're blessed to be able to have a connection to God, not just when we pray, a connection to God 24 hours a day. How? Through His Holy Spirit, which is in us, those of us who have been baptized. Let's realize that prayer brings us close to God the Father and Jesus Christ and is helpful to develop our faith in God. Without prayer, whatever faith we do have would quickly evaporate and disappear. And I think you all understand that. Now, let's not forget that Jesus Christ was and is a servant. He serves, so obviously we should follow Him in that regard. Christ loves His people, which includes us, and He desires to live in our lives through God's Spirit and serve us by teaching us His ways. And He gives us incredible examples of service. I'm sure that all we have to do is read the life of Christ, and you can see, and we can see, the many, many ways that Jesus Christ serves the church. And all of those ways involved is love. Love is the basic service for all of mankind. Without that love, how can we serve? How can Christ serve? Well, God is love. And Christ is love. So we can be very thankful and grateful for that. So here's a question to all of us, brethren, as I mentioned service. Are we serving others? Think of that, especially in God's church. Now, let's think about serving. We can serve others by simply praying for them, of course. We can pray for the sick, the new members. We can pray for our deacons, the elders, and certainly we can pray for our pastor, our children, and of course the choir, and praying for one another. That's all part of service, brethren. All of us can strive to be servants of God as we live each day. In other words, our thinking should include thoughts. There you are. Thoughts of serving others with God's love in us. Simply praying for others is an excellent way of service. Now, our congregation is filled with many people serving others in so many ways. We have those who serve the children in Sabbath school, those who bring others to church, those who serve the elderly, those who are involved on the church council, those who serve in the choir, those who are involved in distribution of the UCG booklets at selected malls in Orange County, as was mentioned earlier, those involved with refreshments, the ushers, the greeters, those involved in transporting others. Simple ways of serving others in our congregation on the Sabbath can involve how well we greet and talk to others through kind and helpful words of encouragement. Before I go a little further than brethren, I also, as I thought more about the service, I didn't want to leave anyone out, so I wrote some other things that are happening in our church under service. There's many people who serve here in Garden Grove, in addition to those that I mentioned. I won't mention names, but I'll try to mention the various responsibilities of service. Service is going on in our congregation. We can be pleased with that, and obviously we can always improve. I realize that service is being done in many ways, and probably our entire congregation serves in one way or another. I mentioned providing transportation. We have our pastor who serves all of us. The deacons and elders serve in various ways and have specific responsibilities. And there's those that prepare the bulletin, those who translate the service for our Spanish speakers, the parents who prepare their children to attend the service and or Sabbath school. They're serving their children. Those who work in the lobby regarding bringing the hymn books and in setting up the announcements. Several people that are there in the lobby before service starts. They're serving. We think of the hymn leaders. And in addition to our pastor, those who speak before the congregation. And the men who work in the balcony, up there in the balcony, for the audio that takes place in this main sanctuary. And also, of course, for the internet program that goes on. We can thank them for that. That is serving. That is work. Those who set up the stage for the PowerPoints that are used, the microphones, the monitors. So when I say service, there are, as you can see, there's a lot to serving. And Jesus Christ was a servant serving, and we simply need to follow him. Follow him. And as I began, and then I went back to what I was just saying about serving and involving how well we greet and talk to others. That's something to think about. How kind and helpful are we when we see people, whoever they are, and encouraging them, perhaps, whatever it is, showing good manners in relationship with others, whether they're in the church or not, and meeting new people, new friendships. Phone calls can be done of encouragement. And I know that many here send cards to the sick or to those who are grieving. How we greet other people shows immediately whether we are happy and positive and friendly people. And I believe we are. I believe we are. Let's remember that Jesus Christ served all of mankind. And we understand, as was mentioned earlier, by giving his life as a sacrifice for all the sins of mankind in order to reconcile mankind to God, the Father, and justify mankind to become a son of God. We must remember to honor God and Jesus Christ on their Sabbath and holy days. Honoring God, we can do that by keeping them and understanding what they mean, and certainly by following the guidance and instruction on how to keep them. There's many ways to keep them. We hear many messages. The Sabbath is not just, you know, laying there and sleeping through. God gave us the Sabbath for a reason, and certainly to draw close to Him. The service is there, of course. But what do we do on the Sabbath? There's many things we can do. We can listen. We have computers. We can hear even messages from the home office or from beyond today. We're listening. We're hearing things. We're emphasizing God and Jesus Christ. Remember Matthew 22:37, where it says, remember the lawyer went to Jesus and asked him about the greatest commandment, and Jesus told him very simply, we're commanded to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind, and love our neighbor as ourself. So there's two. These are the two. That's the second one. And it mentions in John 15:12, where Jesus commanded his disciples to love. There's that word again, love one another. So love is a very important part of our daily living. In John 15:12, as I mentioned, this is what he said. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And he did and does. So we can see that to believe in Jesus Christ will require, as I think we understand, will require faith. Faith is a very important part in believing and following the directions and guidance of God the Father and Jesus Christ. And it involves, of course, eternal life. We should be able to understand that proving to God, our Father, and Jesus Christ that we have faith in the resurrection of the dead involves our conduct in how we live our lives each day at work, at home, our relationships with one another, as it was mentioned in the first message. We must live our lives in our day-to-day living through our day-to-day conduct in our relationship to God, our Father, and Jesus Christ, our Savior and High Priest and coming King. So we're given a self-examination process that should continually be thought of and looked at as we strive to live our lives close to God. And so turn to 2 Corinthians 13:5. I have it. I'll read it. If you don't have the ability or able to at this point, but let's read 2 Corinthians 13:5. It's a very important scripture, and it says, "Examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified?" So the question is, we know that Jesus Christ is in us, brethren. And so, Jesus Christ is in us. His Holy Spirit is in us. So, with that, we can be encouraged. We can be encouraged and blessed by our loving God when we strive to live close to Him in our Savior. Now, both of them are well pleased. We must put on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by keeping His holy Sabbath. So being here on the Sabbath day, they're pleased with that. And remember, Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath. And as we do that, our faith should increase. Now, all of us, many of us, of course, have God's Holy Spirit. We were baptized. We can think back when the change came in our lives from not honoring the Sabbath, not even understanding what it meant, to the time when we started. Now, let's look at four areas to consider as we examine ourselves. First of all, faith in God and his promises of the resurrection should include our prayer life, our study of the Bible, how we relate to our brethren, our children, our wives, our husbands. As we do these things, we're simply proving to God that we love him and want to please him. Then the second area, examination of our faith would include, again, our trust in God, love towards God, our fellow man, and our brethren. Now, of course, faith includes living our lives each day with the keeping of all 10 of God's commandments. And that's where many people don't come through on that one. You know, the keeping of all of God's 10 commandments. And we understand that here in God's church. There are many out there. They're fine people. We love them. But keeping all of the 10, which the fourth one, of course, is very, very complicated for them, it seems. Number three, our faith should include believing in Jesus Christ's statement that he is the resurrection and the life, trusting what he says and knowing who he is. Having a close relationship with him and God the Father through prayer, Bible study, again, as I mentioned before, meditation, and occasional fasting. In John 11:25, Jesus says something very important. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Now remember, believing Jesus Christ, following, involves following what or who he is and what he believes. He who believes in Christ, though he may die, he shall live. Now, Hebrews 11:6 is a very important scripture about faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God, in other words, draws near to God, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And how do we diligently seek God? How do we diligently seek God? Well, prayer is important. We also seek God through Bible study. We also seek God in living our lives according to his promises for us, in our minds, in our thoughts, how we conduct ourselves with others. We want to please God. I know we do, and Jesus Christ. Of course we do. So we must recognize that drawing near to God, our Father, should involve drawing near also to our Savior and High Priest, Jesus Christ. So we have God the Father and our High Priest, Jesus Christ. And remember, the sermon is revolving around following Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God. Of course, it involves God the Father. The focus right now is on Jesus Christ. One powerful example of drawing near to Jesus Christ is to really understand the characteristics of who he is, what he says, and his example in how he continually wants to do the will of the Father. And we read a scripture on that, but there's other scriptures there, and we can recognize that Jesus Christ does the will of God the Father. They're together, yes. God the Father and Jesus Christ is right there with him as our high priest. Let us always realize that Jesus Christ is not only our Savior and high priest, he's the Son of God, a member of the family of God. So our thoughts should continually include Jesus Christ in them as we pray to our loving God, our Father. What do we think about, brethren? What do we think about during the day? Let us think, of course, of the importance of praying to God our Father and how Jesus Christ is an important part of prayer. Coming boldly to the throne of grace involves, of course, prayer. And brethren, and should involve Jesus Christ. So we're the brethren, and we come to the throne of grace, and it should obviously involve Jesus Christ because we're praying. We're praying. Not only are we praying kneeling, but we're thinking. You see, we can, as I mentioned earlier, we can pray in different ways. The action of expressing confidence in our loving God includes that He knows us. Jesus Christ knows us. God the Father knows us. He knows every one of us. He knows what we're thinking. They know. They hear. You see? And so we need to understand that. Our high priest, he's right there when we are praying. He's right there when we all of a sudden are thinking something strongly that we want him to help us with. He's right there. And God the Father is there. Both of them are involved in listening to our prayers, brethren. Now, let's remember that when we pray to God our Father, we are also talking to Jesus Christ, our high priest. Look at Hebrews, the 4th chapter and the 14th verse. And there it says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly," which means with confident faith, "to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Christ wants us to come boldly to Him. They want us, He and the Father, to ask for mercy regarding whatever it is, to ask for wisdom, to ask for guidance as we pray. In 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, let's look at verse 16 through 18, and there it says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing," and I mentioned that earlier. "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good." And then verse 22, very, very important. "Abstain from every form of evil." And we have evil all around us, brethren. And the temptations are there. And they're in our thoughts, not just in our actions. And so that's an area that we have to focus on continually to make sure that we are in that category where Christ and God the Father know us. And they want us to work with them and pray to them in different ways. The importance of praying to God is necessary in the development of our faith in God. We must realize, brethren, that prayer to God through our Lord and Savior and High Priest is a connection to God and Christ that we have been given through God's Holy Spirit. Praying to God without ceasing includes thinking and talking to God in our minds and including Him in our thoughts, our needs, our actions, and our desire to be more and more like Him and His Son and our High Priest and coming King, Jesus Christ. Brethren, our God, our Father, and Jesus Christ, our High Priest, continually and consistently in our thoughts, are they? Are they in our thoughts, in our minds? Psalms 10:4. It's a psalm that very clearly expresses the importance of having God and Jesus Christ continually in our thoughts. I think we know it. I'll say it here. "The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. God is in none of his thoughts. Brethren, we can easily understand that a main reason for the causes of the problems of this world is that God is not in the thoughts of people. We can look at the society out there. We can see all of these things that are happening in the election process, the problems of the other parts of the world, the ISIS situation, the hatred that's out there. Isn't it obvious? Isn't it obvious, brethren, that God is not in the thoughts of the majority, most of this world? And so, as God's people, we must consider that. We must consider that, and it's very important. Brethren, we're on a very, very exciting spiritual journey to the kingdom of God. Our journey must be with Jesus Christ because he's the only way for us to get there. It is through Jesus Christ that we will reach the goal of the kingdom of God. As we pray, we should include asking God to help us to continually develop the fruit of his Spirit, as I mentioned earlier. And we must recognize that we can have boldness to enter the throne where Christ and God the Father are. True Christianity is a way of life. It's a way of life. Jesus Christ makes it very clear that in order for people to have access to the kingdom of God, resurrected from physical human beings to spirit beings, they must go through him, our Savior, High Priest, and coming King. In Psalms 119, 142, it says, "Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth." Brethren, we are expected to live our lives based on the standards and commandments of God. We know that. And in John 17:17, there it says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." Jesus Christ is praying to God the Father and asking him to sanctify the disciples, which includes us, brethren. We're to be set apart for holy use. And I think we understand now that Jesus Christ is our example in how to live. He exemplifies God the Father. He told his disciples that if they had seen him, they had seen the Father. And Christ is our good shepherd, and we're to follow him. And how can we follow him? We follow his example in how he lived. We read and study the Bible and learn that the concepts on how we should live should be according to God's will. And it's to understand the example of Christ's life here on earth. And we do that by reading and studying his Bible. We should understand that we're to follow Christ by living the way he lived. He will definitely be close to God the Father. As we conclude, brethren, when we follow Christ, our Good Shepherd, we will be able to come to God the Father. We can actually come to God the Father every time we pray, because right there at the right hand of God, Jesus Christ, our High Priest, is right there. We're actually talking to God through Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He's God the Father's spokesman. He embodies the way and how to live according to God's will. And we should follow that. We are blessed to understand what it means to follow Christ, our Good Shepherd, as he leads us. If we had time, we would read Psalms 23. But I would ask all of us, read Psalms 23 this evening or when you have time, brethren, because Psalms 23 explains very clearly the shepherd and the sheep, and we are the sheep. The importance of God's word, the Bible, is so important in our learning, brethren. Learning what God and Jesus Christ say involves our reading of the word of God. Why? Well, as I mentioned earlier, because Jesus Christ is the word of God. And Jesus Christ is the one and only way to the Father. He is the source of all truth and the source of all knowledge about God. He offers to spiritually dead people the very life of God. We are so blessed to understand that. So hopefully, brethren, from this message, we have more clearly understood that our number one goal in living our lives is to follow Jesus Christ as sheep, or sheep, in our day-to-day living. And he's the good shepherd. He's our savior from eternal death. And he is our high priest. And he is the word of God.